Good evening, and thank you for joining us this evening for our Bible study together. I hope everything is going well at your house today. We enjoyed a really fine time of worship this morning here at the Eastside Church of Christ building. Much of the church was able to gather together and assemble to glorify our God, and we're so thankful for those experiences. We're coming to you this evening online, and we hope again that we'll be able to bless your life with words from the Word of God, which encourage us to be more of what He wants us to be, to glorify His name. We are, of course, online at eastside-church.org, our website. You can also catch us on Facebook, and we'll talk more about at the end of the lesson tonight about ways you can access information on our online, on our webpage, on Facebook, and get to know us here at Eastside if you don't. The lesson tonight is entitled, "The Righteous Are Bold as a Lion." It comes from Proverbs 28 and verse 1. The text says that the wicked flee when no one pursues. Wicked people don't like to get caught, and they're paranoid about that, but they're often also fairly cowardly. And yet, while the wicked flee when no one pursues, the righteous are bold as a lion. The life of a righteous person is a life of humility, but not timidity. It is a life of kindness, but not cowardice. It is a life of meekness, but not weakness. And that is so well put in this wonderful proverb. I've had the privilege on trips to Africa of seeing lions, actually walking out in the bush with some young lions. They are amazing animals. Strong, powerful, and so very confident. The Bible says about them in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 29 and 30 that they're one of the majestic things that God has created. A lion which is mighty among beasts and does not turn away from any. That's pretty characteristic of the lion. Mighty among beasts and doesn't turn away from any. And the Bible says if we're righteous people, we'll be like that too. We'll be bold. We'll be confident. We'll go about our business and trust in the power that God has given us and endued us with. And so tonight I want us to think about ways that we as God's people, those who have been made righteous in the blood of the Lamb, that we might be bold in our service to God and need to be bold in our service to God. Think about, firstly, being bold in our speech. In the New Testament, there's a word that's translated bold or boldness a number of times. It is a word that is defined in Strong's dictionary as outspokenness or frankness or bluntness. By implication, it refers to assurance or confidence. Joseph Henry Thayer, in his Greek lexicon, says that this word means freedom in speaking, unreservedness in speech, speaking frankly, without concealment, without ambiguity or circumlocution. It also means speaking, being free of fear and with confidence, cheerful courage, boldness, assurance. So these are some of the synonyms and definitions that scholars give to this particular word that's used in the New Testament. And they so well fit the attitude in our speech that we as Christians need to have when we're speaking about God's Word and we're telling people the truth of God's Word. When you look at the lives of the apostles, once you get to Acts chapter 2 and they receive power from on high when they're endued with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they go about from that moment on preaching the Word with such boldness and confidence, God's power being with them. And you're impressed with that mightily all the way along. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were arrested, and they are put before the council of the Jews. The council threatens them, tells them not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And Peter responds to that. If you start in Acts chapter 4 and verse 11, he says to them about Jesus that he's the stone that was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. He says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." What a bold statement in proclaiming Christ and the power of Christ, His power to save us. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the one. Salvation is through Him or it's through no one. He is the one. how we need to be proclaiming that boldly today. There are lots of folks in the world, obviously, that feel like some sort of salvation or hope of eternal life or hope of great spiritual experience comes in some other way or through some other person or through some other religion. But the Bible says, and we need to say, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. We don't say that to offend people. We say that to bring people to Jesus because He is the only way. We want folks to understand that. A lot of folks have different opinions about, you know, how they're going to get to heaven, who's going to help them get into the afterlife. And Jesus is the only way. There's no other name under heaven given among men. He's the one. But then look, when Peter tells that to the Jewish council, it says in verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. You see, the boldness of Peter and John wasn't because they had years of training and knew how to speak eloquently or anything like that at all. The boldness of Peter and John wasn't something that came innately to them as human beings, but it was something that they had because God's Word was in them, because they were speaking God's Word, which is ever so powerful. The Word that created everything, the Word that upholds everything, the Word that is revealed to us in Scripture. This is God's Word. It is powerful. It is truth. And Peter and John knew they were speaking the truth. And when you speak the truth, you can do it with boldness. No matter whether people will disagree with it or not, it might hurt their feelings, but they need to hear it if it's the truth. It's going to help them if they'll accept it. And so we need to speak the truth, as Peter did on this occasion, with all boldness. When trouble comes because of speaking the truth, we just need to pray for more boldness and speak even more boldly. A lot of times, you know, we get in trouble when we tell folks what the truth is. They don't like it. They'll argue with us. Maybe they'll try to do something to hurt us physically or in some other way, call us names, whatever it might be, revile us. When we're speaking the truth and it gets difficult and we face obstacles and we face opposition, it's not the time to stop. It's the time to pray for more boldness and speak it ever more boldly. In the end of this context, Peter and John are threatened by the council, but they're let go for the time being. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, they come together with some of the other disciples and they offer this prayer to God. And part of that is recorded for us in this text. In Acts 4 and verse 29, it says, as they're praying to God, now Lord, look on their hearts. And he's talking about the hearts of the Jewish leaders. Look on their hearts and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. They want God's servants do, to speak the word, by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Here are people who've just been threatened, who've just been told, don't do it. And they pray to God for more boldness, and they go out and they put their prayer, so to speak, into practice. They live in faith what they prayed for, and they go out and they speak the word even with more boldness. The Apostle Paul, interesting study, of course, in the course of the New Testament, his development from Saul of Tarsus, a persecutor of the church, to one who saw the Lord on the road to Damascus and became a Christian when he was in Damascus, being baptized for the remission of his sins, and became a great advocate, obviously, a great inspired apostle for the cause of Christ. And due to his undying affection for his Lord and his willingness to proclaim Christ boldly everywhere he went, Paul got himself in a lot of trouble. He experienced an awful lot of opposition. He was persecuted. He was hurt. He went through a lot. In the book of Ephesians, he's actually writing from a Roman prison as he writes that letter to the Ephesians. And he says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19 that he wants the Ephesians to pray for him. Listen to what he says. Pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. When we're preaching Jesus, We need to speak boldly. It doesn't matter if there's a threat that we're going to be thrown in prison or we have already been thrown in prison as Paul was. We need to speak boldly. And Paul's praying for that. He's asking others to pray for him. It's what those disciples did in Acts 4 as well. It takes courage. It takes boldness to speak the truth for Jesus. Are you praying about that, Christian? Are you asking God to give you that boldness? Are you asking others to pray for you that you may have that courage to speak God's word in your families, with your fellow workers, with your neighbors, with all that you come in contact with and have opportunity with, to speak boldly in the name of Jesus, even in the face of trouble and opposition? The righteous become even bolder when they face those kinds of things. In Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus had recently been converted. He'd preached the gospel in Damascus. He winds up, after leaving Damascus, going to Jerusalem. He tries to join the disciples there, but they remember when he was a persecutor and they have trouble receiving him. So the text tells us, though, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 27, that Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, the other apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he'd preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. So the first thing Paul did when he became a Christian was to preach boldly in the name of Jesus. Of course, his life was threatened and he was pretty much run out of town in Damascus because of preaching boldly. But Barnabas is telling the apostles in Jerusalem about that. And then in verse 28, he says, then that Paul was with them in Jerusalem, that he was accepted by them. He's with them then in Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke again boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. They attempted to kill him. From that time forward, as I said, in the history of Saul of Tarsus, the great apostle Paul, we see him speaking boldly in place after place after place in the name of Jesus. The opposition only grew more fierce the further life went along for him. He was arrested. He was beaten repeatedly. He was threatened with death itself on multiple occasions. Here's a man, a good example for us, a great example for us. He asks us to follow him as he follows Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ, he says. Christ was bold, wasn't he? Christ was bold in the face of all kinds of opposition. He went about for over 3 years preaching the kingdom, telling people to repent. His truth, the truth, affected many people, hurt many people, caused many people to hate him. They eventually crucified him. And yet he stands today as the epitome of truth, the bringer of truth, the one who brought us grace and truth. Would that we could be more like the Apostle Paul, more like Jesus Christ, whom Paul was emulating. Would that we could be bold and bolder even as the opposition grows hotter. In Acts chapter 13, Paul and his preaching companion Barnabas are in Antioch of Pisidia, and they have been preaching to everyone, Jew, whoever. The Jews, though, who were the leaders in that community, the Jewish leaders, they saw the multitudes, all the people that were beginning to listen to Paul and Barnabas. Because of that, they were filled with envy, it says. And they began contradicting and blaspheming, and they opposed the things spoken by Paul. In Acts 13 and verse 46, it says that when that happened, Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, but since you rejected and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. Those were some bold words. If you're not going to accept the truth, we're going to take it to people who will accept it. You judge yourselves unworthy of the truth by rejecting it. We're taking it to people who will accept it. Those are bold words. They're not meant to hurt anybody. They're meant to state the facts, to lay out what's going on, to help people understand what it is that they've done in rejecting Christ, to help people understand why it is that those people, you know, would be left and other people would be turned to in an appeal to accept Jesus. We need to see that in the world today. Sometimes ask, you know, and trips that we've made overseas over the years, don't you realize there are lost people in America? I know there are lost people in America. There are lost people all around us in America. But did you know you can work and work and work with the lost people in America, and occasionally you'll find someone who accepts the gospel. Most of the time people reject it. They've got other things to do, other things on their mind, other things that are occupying their lives. And it's really hard anymore in America to get somebody interested in the gospel. That's not true in third world countries. And you wonder why people are focusing their attention on taking the gospel to third world countries. We've taken the gospel to America. We've been up and down, knocking on doors, talking to neighbors, begging people to listen to the Word of God and to accept the truth of Jesus. And so many have turned away. And yet, for some reason, in third world countries, so often the fields are white to harvest. The Apostle Paul says to these Jews very boldly, if you won't accept it, we'll turn to those who will. That's a bold statement to make, but it was the truth. And to some degree, it's the truth today as well. We in America need to understand that we've been given a great opportunity, a great blessing. Bibles in every store, you know, in every bookstore nearly. And all over the place. You pick one up in a hotel room, whatever. The truth of God's Word being proclaimed from pulpits and by the lips of faithful Christians all over the country. And people won't listen. People won't listen. God help us to understand we've been given an opportunity here as speakers of God's Word, but also those who would hear it to accept the truth. These people that Paul and Barnabas were talking to on the day there in Antioch needed to understand that. This kind of boldness of speech that we see in Jesus, in Peter, in Paul, in Barnabas, this boldness of speech comes from an appreciation for the Word of God and what it is. As we mentioned earlier, this powerful Word with which God created everything, by which He saves man, by which, by the way, He's going to destroy the world one day. His Word is mighty powerful. He just speaks and things happen according to His Word. He speaks and whatever He speaks is the truth. That's God's Word. And we need to learn to speak God's Word to please Him and not to please our fellow man. There's a fellow who lived during the reign of Henry VIII, a preacher by the name of Hugh Latimer. I don't know everything that Hugh Latimer preached. I don't imagine I would necessarily agree with everything that he preached, but I do appreciate him as a man of some conviction. History records that Hugh Latimer, on more than one occasion, was given the responsibility of preaching in the court of King Henry VIII. And he preached one Sunday in the court of King Henry VIII with Henry sitting there. And when he was finished, when Latimer was finished with his sermon, Henry VIII was extremely displeased with him. I don't know if you know much about history, but I take it that if you said something that was against Henry, that if you condemned him, a practice that he was practicing or something that he believed in, it could be curtains for you. It could be off with your head or whatever. And whatever Mr. Latimer had said in his sermon had offended the king. And the king told him, he said, Mr. Latimer, I want you to come back next Sunday and preach a sermon to me again. And next time, you better apologize for what you've said. And so the next Sunday, Hugh Latimer again appeared in the court of Henry VIII. And he said this, he preached in this way. He started by talking to himself. And he said, Hugh Latimer, dost thou know before whom you speak this day? To the high and mighty monarch, the king's most excellent majesty, who can take away your life if you offend. Therefore, take heed how you speak, not a word that may displease, but consider well. Hugh, dost thou not know from whence thou comest, upon whose message thou art sent? Even by the great and mighty God, who is all present and who beholds all thy ways and who is able to cast thy soul into hell. Therefore, take care that thou deliverest a message faithfully. And then Hugh Latimer preached exactly the same sermon that he'd preached the week before. And history records that he preached it with considerably more energy the second time. He didn't lose his life that day, but he did leave us an illustration of boldness. If we're speaking the truth, and if we're speaking it with conviction, and we're speaking it to help and persuade men, it may not do that, but that doesn't change that it's the truth. And we must speak the truth. And we must speak it more boldly as we go, and the more opposition that we face, the more boldly and confident we must speak it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2, again, the Apostle Paul, referring to his time with the Thessalonians and their town of Thessalonica, he says, even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel in much conflict. Paul had been thrown in prison in Philippi. He goes then to Thessalonica. It doesn't matter that he was thrown in prison in Philippi. It doesn't matter that he's got people who are against him in Thessalonica. What does it say? He says, we spoke the word of God boldly in much conflict. He says, for our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it of deceit. In other words, he wasn't speaking things that he was making up. He wasn't speaking things to try to deceive people. He was speaking the truth. He says, as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. It's God that we're trying to please when we speak His word. Please help us. Please remember that when you're speaking God's truth. It's Him that you're trying. I know we're living in a world where, you know, so many of us, in our interactions with others, we want to be people pleasers. We don't want to, cause waves, rock the boat, whatever phrase you want to use. But the truth sometimes is going to rock the boat. The truth sometimes is going to cause waves. Let's not apologize for the truth. Let's speak it boldly. What great examples we have of that in Scripture. And you say, well, I need help. I need help to live it, and I need help to speak it. The great thing is that we can be bold because we can approach God for help. Help to speak His word, as we saw Paul doing, as we saw the saints in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John doing that. When we need help to speak God's word, we can receive it. And we can ask for help in a bold way. We can approach God with boldness and confidence. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, the apostle there says, talking about Jesus, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. There are two or three words I want us to focus on in that sentence, just a brief verse. But he says, we have boldness. We have boldness. We can go to God. We have boldness and access. We can come to God. Now, we had a lesson a short time ago about our prayers to God. We don't need to come to God flippantly. We don't need to come to God in pride. But we need to respect who He is, where He is, who we are in His sight. All of that needs to be kept in mind. He is our Heavenly Father. He is a great King. He is majestic and powerful beyond our imaginations. And so when we approach Him, we must keep all of that in mind. But we can approach Him nonetheless with a lot of confidence. We have access to Him through faith in Christ. In ancient times, you basically took your life in your own hands if you deigned to approach the king without permission. You see a bit of that in the book of Esther. You might remember that the Jews in captivity were somewhat in peril, and there was one who was plotting to have them all done away with. Esther was the queen, and she's being urged to approach the king on her people's behalf. It says in Esther 4 and verse 11, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court of the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. That sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? if you approach the king and the king hasn't called you, there's just one law for that. You're going to be put to death unless he grants you mercy and holds out his scepter to you and allows you to approach. It was a serious thing to approach an ancient king without permission. The great thing is, we have the greatest King of all, and we have access. We have permission to come into His presence through faith in Christ. We don't have to be afraid like the Cowardly Lion and the Wizard of Oz, you know, coming to Oz. We can be bold lions. We can approach Him with boldness because of Jesus Christ, our great High Priest. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, the writer says, "Seeing then that we have a great High Priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a High Priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Yes, we need mercy from God. We need forgiveness of our sins. We need Jesus' blood applied to our lives so that we may be forgiven and approach God acceptably. But we need help. We need help in our lives to overcome temptation, and we need help in our lives to speak God's word with boldness. God gives it. He's happy to give it. Let's pray about that. Let's pray that God will make us bold and give us the help that we need. He understands our circumstances. He understands the pressures that we face. He understands when we lack courage, and we need to pray that He'll help us to be courageous and to trust Him more. He understands. And in Him we can find grace to help in time of need. Jesus shed His blood to cleanse us and fit us to stand in God's holy presence. Again, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 19, "Brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Through the blood of Jesus, we may approach the God of heaven." And as a result, we can know that He will hear us and He will help us. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That word for confidence there is the same word that's elsewhere translated boldness. This is the boldness that we have, that through Christ, we know if we're asking according to the will of God, if it's something that we know He wants done, we can be sure that He hears us. Those of you who are parents who have children, they ask for a lot of things. Sometimes they ask for things that they don't need. Sometimes they ask for things that might even hurt them. Sometimes they ask for things just to be asking. Sometimes they ask for things that would really help them and that they truly do need. And most parents, when they get those kinds of requests, are more than happy to grant the request. That's how God our Father is. That's how God our Father is. He wants to grant that request when you're wanting to do His will. You know, you tell your kid, "Why don't you go work in the garden? Why don't you go plow the garden? Why don't you go plant whatever or whatever it is, pull the weeds?" And they come and they say, "Well, can I have a tool to plow the garden, or can I have some implement to do that with?" And you're happy to give that to them because they want to do your work. They want to do what you want done. So God is with us. We may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me." Ultimately, friends and neighbors and brethren, all of us live lives deciding whether or not we're going to serve God well, faithfully, and righteously. Deciding whether or not we're going to be courageous for Him or cowardly because of our earthly fears. It may be interesting to note that the cowardly will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, according to Revelation 21:8. It is the bold and courageous that God will have with Him in heaven. we are all going to stand before Him in judgment. And if we have been bold in our righteousness, in our stand for Him on this earth, we can be bold in that day of judgment. Judgment is inevitable for everyone. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body. Every one of us, according to what we've done, whether good or bad. There's no escaping that. There's no, I'm going to get out of that some way. It is an inevitable reality that we must face. And we must face that reality now, or we'll surely face it later. I read a story about a fella a few years ago that was a thief. He had stolen something and tucked it under his jacket, was in the second floor of a department store in New York City, and he tried to run out of the store running down the escalator, but unfortunately he picked the escalator that was going up. And so there were a lot of people already on the escalator, and as he tried to go down, he finally just couldn't make any headway at all. It got jammed up, and he was carried right back up to the top of the escalator where a policeman was standing and arrested him. That's the inevitability of judgment. We're headed that way. We can run away from it. We can try to deny it. We can try to get away. It's going to happen. How are you going to feel? How am I going to feel? If I've been cowardly in this life and not stood up for the things of God, His ways, His righteousness, if I've not spoken His word with boldness, if I've been fearful here, I will have reason to be fearful there. We can be bold at the judgment if we love God, if we live in Him. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, "Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Abide in Him. And notice especially 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world." When we live a Christ-like life, when Christ is living in and through us with His goodness and His holiness and His boldness, then we can have a lot of confidence when we stand before the throne at that judgment day. We've encouraged you to think about being bold as a lion. Be righteous, for the righteous are bold as a lion. Thank you for being with us in this study. We hope that it's helped you and encouraged you to stand for Jesus more faithfully and more forcefully day by day. Again, you can contact us through our webpage, eastside-church.org. There are email addresses there, myself, the elders. You can contact us in that way. Call the church building here. The number is 256-232-4666. Leave a message if nobody picks up, and we'll get back with you if we can help you in any way. Thank you for, again, being part of this broadcast. We'll be online again Wednesday evening at 7 with a lesson on the question of, is the Bible the Word of God? We'll be presenting evidence from prophecy that the Bible is the Word of God. Have a good evening. God bless you as you strive to live for Him.